No other book has so profoundly impacted so many lives as the Bible.
Welcome to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. Today we see how God will gather the nations for judgment in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, for the harvest is ripe, but He will shelter His people and bless them forever. We hope you join us as Pastor Daryl continues in the book of Joel, chapter 3, on Simply the Bible.
How will the world end? Now, we who know the Bible don't need to wonder about that because God tells us how the world will end if we're just paying attention. He gives us the bookends. He gave us the beginning in Genesis. He tells us how it will all end in Revelation. But He also told us along the way how it would end. And that's what we find out here in the book of Joel, a minor prophet. We're going to conclude that today. Joel chapter 3. For behold, in those days, and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. God Himself in the last days will gather all of the nations in order to bring them into judgment. Now, it's interesting here that this corresponds with what God tells us in the book of Revelation. But here, we are told that God will gather them in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, there is no Valley of Jehoshaphat on any Bible atlas, so where is it? And commentators don't really know. However, the meaning of the Valley of Jehoshaphat is the Lord judges. And so it would seem that this is simply corresponding to what God says in Revelation chapter 16, verse 16, where God will actually use demons to gather all of the nations into the Valley of Megiddo. And it says, and they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now, because of their disobedience and idolatry, the Lord had given the land of Israel over to her enemies. But these nations went beyond being mere agents of God in disciplining His people. They abused His people. They cast lots for them and gave boys as payments so that they could have a prostitute. And then they sold the girls just to get wine so they could get drunk. And so God was going to hold them accountable for what they had done to His people. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Philistia? Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me, swiftly and speedily I will return your retaliation upon your own head, because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my prized possessions. Also, the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem you have sold to the Greeks, that you may remove them from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place to which you have sold them, and will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken. So God addresses these ancient enemies of Israel, Tyre and Sidon and Philistia, and says, will you retaliate against me? It's interesting here that God is identifying with His people Israel. These nations had retaliated against Him by making war against Israel. They had taken God's silver and God's gold. Those who attack Israel are attacking the apple of God's eye. And that's just good for us to know when we're making foreign policy. God said, you have sold them into the hands of the Greeks and taken them outside of their borders. Therefore, He said, I will sell your sons and daughters to the Sabaeans. Now, the Sabaeans were an Arabian people, and the people of Sidon were sold into slavery by Antiochus III in 345 BC, while the citizens of Tyre and Gaza were enslaved by Alexander in 332 BC. So you could say, what goes around comes around. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. So God puts the call out for everyone to prepare for war, all of the mighty men, as he would gather them all together for this epic battle. He said, beat your plowshares into swords. Now, when we get into the millennial kingdom, the opposite's going to occur. They're going to beat their swords into plowshares because there will be no more war. But here is this great battle. God says, beat your plowshares into swords. Everybody's going to come for this, all of the nations, as God enters into judgment with the nations of the world that have rejected Jesus Christ. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake. And so Joel here compares this battle to the harvesting of grain and grapes when God reaps the harvest of the earth by defeating all his enemies, and Jesus will be treading the winepress of the wrath of God. This corresponds with Revelation 14:15. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap. For the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. It is interesting that God does compare wickedness to ripening fruit. And God is just waiting. He's being patient. He does not enjoy bringing judgment. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But there will come this point where the harvest is ready to be harvested, because the wickedness of man has come to the point that God simply must intervene and judge the earth. Now, he says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. There will be such a great bloodbath there during this battle of Armageddon. And God calls it the valley of decision, where he is rendering the verdict against these nations of the world that have harmed his people Israel and also rejected Jesus Christ. But here it is, we are in a valley of decision, as it were, because we must all make our decision. What will we do with Jesus Christ? Who is he to us? Will we receive him or reject him? Now, to neglect to receive him is, in fact, to reject him. And Jesus said, he who does not believe in me is condemned already. Those who do not believe in Jesus Christ will die in their sins. They'll face God on judgment day in their sins. But those who receive Jesus Christ by faith will be justified. And that is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Persuade men to do what? To put their trust in Jesus Christ while there is still time. Now, there will be these great cataclysmic signs. The sun and moon will grow dark. The stars will diminish their brightness. Joel talks about this. Isaiah talks about this. Jesus talked about it. It's talked about in Revelation. And then the Lord will roar from Zion. The Lamb of God will become the Lion of the tribe of Judah when Jesus Christ returns riding on a white horse, according to Revelation 19, and he will roar out of Zion, the mountain on which Jerusalem was built, and he will conquer the enemies of God. Then the heavens and the earth will shake. Revelation 6:15 says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? This is the great day of the Lord that Joel is speaking of here. But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord, and water the valley of Achishah. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, because of violence against the people of Judah. For they have shed innocent blood in their land, but Judah will abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will acquit them of the guilt of bloodshed, whom I had not acquitted, for the Lord dwells in Zion. And so even while the nations of the earth will be suffering this great judgment, God will be a shelter for his people. Isaiah speaks of this, Isaiah 26:20, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity." But Jerusalem shall be holy in that day. Now, today, Jerusalem is not holy. There's a bunch of unbelievers that are living there. It's an amalgamation of all kinds of people, Muslims, Christians, Jews, atheists. But in that day, Jerusalem shall be holy to the Lord. God will cleanse her. And there will be the restoration of the prosperity. Now, earlier, Joel had spoken of this plague of locusts that had just completely devastated the land. But in the millennial kingdom, the wine, the milk, the water will flow freely, and God will prosper the land, making it like Eden. Then a fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord. Zechariah 14:8 says, "On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the eastern sea and half to the western sea in summer and in winter." Ezekiel tells us that this river will actually come from the newly built millennial temple. But Egypt and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. These nations that had so mistreated Israel will now be desolate in that day. But God will acquit Judah and Jerusalem from their guilt. In that day, God will bring forth the cleansing that we receive today through the blood of Jesus Christ. God will acquit them of all their guilt of bloodshed and all of their sins in that great day. And listen, I want to be ready for it. I'm looking forward to being part of this millennial kingdom. But first, I'm looking up, because as we look at the things happening in the world, I believe that we are coming to a quick conclusion of history as we know it. And Jesus told us, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption is drawing near.
You've been listening to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. We're happy to announce that we're building a new facility in Southwest Meridian. For more information or to give toward this project, please visit calvarytv.org/buildingproject. That's calvarytv.org/buildingproject. To listen to previous episodes, check out our Simply the Bible podcast. Tomorrow, we will return to Proverbs and see that guidance comes by trusting in the Lord and not by leaning on our own understanding. Moreover, wisdom is a tree of life that leads to happiness and peace. We hope you'll join us as we continue teaching through God's Word on Simply the Bible.